Shalom Abracha, in this week's parasha, Parashat Tetzaveh, we are taught, Ve'ata Tetzaveh et Bnei Yisrael, Ve'ikhu Elecha Shemen Zayit Zach, Katit Lama'or, Leha'alot Ner Tamid. The Torah tells us that when we light the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash, we are required to use Shemen Zayit Zach, purest olive oil. I once heard a beautiful explanation. Why olive oil? Why specifically is the olive the fruit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to be the oil that we use in the menorah, in the korbanot, in so many different things? I once heard a beautiful explanation from Beryl Gershenfeld in the name of the Maharal, who explained that there are two fruits, actually, that are sacred in Judaism. The grape, because of the wine that comes from it, and the olive, for the oil that comes from it. The wine is used by every single special event, by weddings, by a brit milah, by kiddush, by havdalah, by every special event, and also in so many of the korbanot, every korban mincha, every korban has nisachim. And the same is true with olive oil. Olive oil is with the korbanot, and it's used in the menorah. Why are these two fruits the fruits that are sacred? Explained Rav Gershenfeld, in the name of the Maharal, that these are the only two fruits where the juice, which is extracted from the fruit, has the potential for even more value than the fruit itself. When Tropicana makes orange juice, they don't choose the highest quality oranges. The highest quality oranges get sold for eating. Only the ones that are a little bit bruised and bumped, those are the ones that are sold for juice, because the juice is less valuable than the fruit itself. And so true with apples, and so too with every single fruit that there is. The only fruit where the juice which is extracted from the fruit is even more potentially valuable than the fruit itself are olives and grapes. You can have very high quality olive oil, which can go for $30-$40 a bottle, and you can have wine that can go for hundreds of dollars a bottle. As opposed to the grapes themselves, they're never going to go for more than a few dollars a pound, and the same is true for olives. You can buy a can of olives for just a few dollars. The lesson Rav Gershenfeld explained is that in Judaism, we value the pinimiyut, the inside, far more than the chitzoniyut, than the outside. And therefore, the juice, which is extracted from the grape and the olive, which is more valuable than the grape itself and than the olive itself, is fitting to be used for all of these sacred purposes. This week, we are going to be focusing on the halachot of hadlakat neirot, an overview of all of the halachot of candle lighting, kifi minhag ha-sfaradim, overall. It is fitting to discuss this during the week of Parashat Tetzaveh, as Chazal teach us, Hazahir b'ner havyan lo banim tamidei chachamim, that the most preferred fuel to use for your hadlakat neirot is olive oil. As its Chazal say, those who are careful about the neirot will merit to have children who are Tamidei Chachamim. And Rashi explains, this refers to both Ner Shabbat and Ner Chanukah. The Sefer Machzik Beracha tells us that a person who is careful to light their Chanukah and Shabbat Nerot with olive oil will be Zoche Lebanim HaMe'irim Be'or Toratam. They will merit to have children who are shining with the light of their Torah. And the reason why olive oil is the greatest way to do the mitzvah is because olive oil burns the cleanest and the nicest from all of the oils. Another interesting halakha, which is learned in Hilchot Hadlakat Neirot from this week's parasha, is as the Torah says, Leha'alot Ner Tamid, that we're supposed to light it on the menorah to raise up the Neirot. And so the Mefashim explain, Ad shetehe hashalhevet ola me'eleha. You have to keep the wick, the match there, until the flame goes up by itself. And from here we learn that it's proper, also by Ner Shabbat and Ner Chanukah, to light the Ner, not just to touch the tip of the wick and let it go down by itself, but rather to light it and keep the match there until the wick catches the fuel and you see it go up by itself, then you move on to the next wick. How many Nerot should we light when we light Ner Shabbat? So there are many different opinions. Some light two, Keneged Zachor v'Shamor. Some light 7 al pi Kabbalah, and some have the minhag to light one for each member of the family. All of these minhagim are acceptable ways of lighting the Nerot Shabbat. Men and women are both obligated in Nerot Shabbat. Many think that only women are obligated, but that's not true. As we will see, there are a number of differences. But for example, if a man lives by himself, he's not married, or we're going to see in certain situations if he may be away on a business trip, the man is required to light Nerot Shabbat just like a woman is required to light Nerot Shabbat. When a man and a woman live in the same household, a husband and a wife, so then the minhag is that the woman lights the Nerot Shabbat. This mitzvah was given to the women. However, the man's role is to prepare the Nerot Shabbat and also to remind the women at the time of candlelighting, as it says in Mishnah, B'mei Madlikin, it is now time to light, Hadliku et Haner. So we said that olive oil is the preferred method of lighting. However, you can use candles, you can use other types of oil, any type of fuel, except for certain exceptions, are permitted. What about electric lights? Nowadays, we have these candle, the electric lights that are plug-in, that are battery-powered. What is the proper method? Can you light with electric lights if you don't have another option? And can you make a beracha on them or not? So the answer is that it's definitely better to use candles or oil, and the reason is because that way it's recognizable that it's being lit lichvod Shabbat. Just by simply turning on the lights in the house, which lights up the house, it's the same as any other night of the week. You can't tell that something is being lit lichvod Shabbat. However, if a person is unable to light with candles or oil in certain situations, maybe perhaps in a hospital or in a hotel where they don't allow you to light in the room, or if a person doesn't have candles or matches, what is the halacha? There's a machloket among the Sephardic contemporary poskim. According to Hagaon Rav Avadi Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, it is permitted to use electric lights, and it's permitted to make a beracha on them. And therefore, a woman or a man would be able to walk over to a light switch, make the beracha of the Hadlik Ner Shel Shabbat, and turn on the lights. According to the Or LeZion, Chacham Ben Tzion Abba Shaul, however, he disagrees in certain situations. He says, if the lights are battery-powered, which means that all of the fuel is there inside of the battery in order to keep your Nerot lit, then you can make a beracha. However, he says that if you only have a plug-in light or a light connected to the electricity of the electric company, so that's your biyad achirim, you don't know for sure, maybe there's going to be a power outage, something else will happen. In that case, he says not to make a beracha. However, it's clear, if a person is in a hotel and they're concerned about fire, they don't want to leave their Nerot in their room burning, or they're not allowed to leave their Nerot in their room burning, or they're guests at somebody's house and they don't feel comfortable leaving the Nerot in their room burning, it is definitely better to make a beracha in the room on an electric light, especially if you have a battery-powered electric light, than to light a fire downstairs or in the common dining room. If somebody's at a hotel and they are trying to decide, should they go downstairs to the lobby? They're at a Shabbaton. Should they go downstairs to the lobby to light with all the other Nerot in the dining room? Or should they light in their room just with electric lights? It's no question about it. If somebody makes a beracha downstairs in the lobby, in many situations we're going to see, it will be a beracha levatala. But if you make the beracha in the room on electric lights, so then that is definitely far better. What is the earliest time when you are allowed to light the Hadlakat Nerot of Shabbat? So according to Da'at Maran, the halacha is that the earliest time that you're able to accept upon yourself Shabbat and light Nerot Shabbat is at Pilag HaMincha, which according to Da'at Maran is 1.25 hours, Sha'ot Zmaniot, halachic hours, before Tzet HaKochavim, the time that the stars come out. According to Ashkenazim, Pilag HaMincha is 1.25 hours before sunset. So you have to be careful not to follow the calendar's time for Pilag HaMincha. According to Minhag HaSfaradim, the Pilag HaMincha is 1.25 hours before Tzet HaKochavim. That is the earliest time that you're able to accept Shabbat and the earliest time that you're able to light Nerot Shabbat. However, according to Da'at Maran, you're only able to light that early and accept upon yourself Shabbat, to light that early only if you accept upon yourself Shabbat at the time of lighting. If you're not accepting upon yourself Shabbat at the time of lighting, then it's not going to be recognizable that the lighting is being done in honor of Shabbat. And then, according to Da'at Maran, you must light within 30 minutes of sunset. Not candle lighting time, sunset. 12 minutes before the candle lighting time in America, because we have the, it's listed as 18 minutes before sunset. 12 minutes before that is the latest time if you want to be able to still do melacha. So for example, if you're a guest at somebody's house for Friday night dinner, and you're going to be coming back home to sleep, and we're going to see in a few moments that the Minhag HaSfaradim is that we light in the location where we sleep. So therefore, in that case, you're going to need to light at home. But you want to be able to light at home, you want to drive over to your friend's house. You don't have to walk over, you want to just walk one way. So then the halacha is, if you can light within 30 minutes before sunset, and then drive over there, that's not going to be a problem. The woman just has to make sure to say she's not accepting Shabbat with the candle lighting, and then she can get into the car after she lights and drive over to her friend. However, if let's say you need to take a bus, or if the distance is longer, you need to leave far earlier than that, they live far away, in that situation, so then she would have to light the Neirot Shabbat, but she would have to accept upon herself Shabbat. So how is she going to get to her friend's house? According to the Or LeZion, the solution is very simple. Even if a woman accepts upon herself Shabbat before the time of 30 minutes before sunset, as long as it's after Pilag HaMincha, she's still able to be a passenger in the car driven by her husband. However, the husband has to be careful to open the door if the light is going to turn on, and then she could sit down and be a passenger in the car. He opens up the door for her, and she gets out. Ah, you may ask, we're not allowed to get into a car on Shabbat. How could it be that we're able to get into a car in such a situation? The answer is that when on Shabbat you get into a car, you're causing somebody else to do Chilul Shabbat for you and to add additional fuel because of the extra weight being placed in the car from your presence. However, in this situation, the person who's driving, let's say the husband, is not doing any Chilul Shabbat whatsoever. It's not Shabbat. And he hasn't accepted upon himself Shabbat. And therefore, there's nothing wrong with a woman being a passenger in the car of her husband who has not yet accepted Shabbat. Now, there are a number of interesting halachot which apply nowadays because we have lights, electric lights, on in our homes. You see, the original reason for the takana of having Neirot Shabbat was a takana by the Chachamim in order to ensure that there would be light on in the home, so that if, God forbid, when the husband comes home from Bet Knesset, he sees that it's dark and he might stumble and bump into something and he'll stub his toe and he'll get angry and the special Kiddusha, the special Avira of Shabbat will be spoiled. So in order to make sure that there's Shalom Bayit, it's proper to have lights. Lights create more of a Shalom Bayit. However, nowadays, where we have lights already on in the home, the reason why we light Neirot Shabbat is specifically for the Takanat Chachamim, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of the Chachamim, that should be recognizable that it's being lit for Shabbat. Because we have lights on in the home nowadays, there are a number of differences that apply, three specific differences that we'll be talking about. A, one interesting halacha is that nowadays that we have electric lights, the proper thing to do, according to all the poskim, is that at the time of the candle lighting, you should make sure to first turn the lights off around the house, then light the candles, make a bracha and light the candles, and after lighting the candles, immediately go around the house and turn the lights on around the house also. That's part of the candle lighting. And then all the neirot, all the lights around the house are infused with the kedusha of Hadlakat Neirot Shabbat. Another interesting difference that applies nowadays because of the electric lights is that there used to be a halacha that if a woman missed a week of lighting Ner Shabbat, there would be a kenas, there would be a fine, which would be that from then on, for the rest of her life, she would add an additional ner. However, nowadays, the poskim write that if the lights were on in the house. The only thing that she missed was lighting the takanat chachamim of hadlakat neirot. She does not have to light an additional ner for the rest of her life, because since there were lights on, the essence, the purpose of the hadlakat neirot still was fulfilled by having the lights on. A third interesting halakha which applies is that in those days, the reason why you needed lights was because otherwise it's going to be dark. So if a person forgot to light the neirot, they could ask a goy, a non-Jew, to come and light the neirot after Shabbat has already begun, because even though amira le'akum is asur midrabanan, even though telling a non-Jew to do a melacha for you is forbidden midrabanan, in certain situations like a tzorech gadol, they are permitted. Having no light on in the house is a reason why a person would be able to ask a goy to light. However, nowadays, when the lights are on in the house, as long as the lights were on, the only thing that's not lit was you forgot to light the Neirot Shabbat. You got home at the last minute, you didn't get a chance to light the Neirot, so you had an emergency, whatever it may be, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to light the Neirot for you, because there is no makom tzorech, there is no great necessity. So we talked about what is the earliest time to light, and we talked about what to do in a situation where you're at the last minute and you weren't able to light and you can't ask a goy to light. So what is the latest time to light hadlakat neirot? On the calendars, it says, many people have the calendars in America and in many countries around the world and many cities around the world, 18 minutes before sunset. That's based on the Shita of the Yireim. In Yerushalayim, the minhag that's written in the calendars is 40 minutes before sunset. However, the poskim write that these times were never accepted by the Sfaradim. They're not binding to us. 18 minutes, 40 minutes. Some poskim say 15 minutes before is the proper time. Some say 10 minutes before is the deadline, according to the minhag of Sfaradim. It's wonderful to do it for 18 minutes. It's wonderful to do even more, because it's Kavod Shabbat. It's more honorable Shabbat to be ready for Shabbat early. Many contemporary Gedolim talk about the great merit of accepting Shabbat early and bringing the Kiddushah of Shabbat into your home earlier. And it's definitely a greater honor for Shabbat to show that you're ready and waiting for the Shabbat Queen to arrive. However, what is the absolute latest? The absolute latest time is really a few minutes before sunset. The reason why we say it's a few minutes before is because we're concerned that perhaps, on the one hand, we're concerned that perhaps your clock may be wrong or something may be a mistake and you may end up causing Chilul Shabbat. There may be, the match might not strike. Who knows what will happen if you wait till the last seconds before. And also there's a mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat. There's a mitzvah to add a time to the beginning and end of Shabbat. So what ultimately is this few minutes? According to Chazon Ovadia, Ravad Yosef writes 5 minutes. The Brisker Rav said 4 minutes. The Eretz Tzvi 2 minutes. The Shut Maharshag said 1 minute. According to the Or Letzion, Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul, he says that it's the amount of time to roast a small fish. The amount of time it takes to do a small, the most basic melacha, the most basic action, which is to roast a small fish, he says it's approximately 3 minutes. He says that's the deadline. 3 minutes before sunset is when you should wait until. But he does mention that if somebody lives in a mountain city like Yerushalayim, or maybe in America, Denver, Colorado, or some other cities which are in the mountains, so then he says you should add time for the difference between the height, the elevation, and sea level, and therefore he says you should not light after 7 minutes before sunset. So the boils down to is don't wait till the last minute, and make sure to light within a few minutes before sunset, even if you're stuck. After that, Rabbi Vad Yosef and Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul say, you should not light. You should not light if there's 1 minute to sunset. It's better not to take a chance. Now let's discuss an interesting question which many Sfaradim debate about. What is the proper method of making the beracha when lighting? Should you first make the beracha and then light? Or should you first light and then make the beracha? So before we answer that, we first have to do a little bit of a hakdama, preface. Generally, the rule is that whenever we do any mitzvah and we make a beracha on the mitzvah, we always make the beracha over la'asiyatan. Always we make the beracha before we do it. We put on tefillin, first we make the beracha, and then we tie the knot. We first make the beracha lehitatef b'tzitzit, and then we put on the talit. We make sure that when we shake the lulav and etrog, we hold the lulav, and we either don't pick up the etrog at all, or we hold the etrog upside down. We make the beracha, and then we hold the etrog correctly, in order so that we make the beracha before we do the mitzvah. When it comes to candle lighting, really, we should do the same thing, just like in every other situation. We should make the beracha, and then light. However, when it comes to candle lighting, there are opinions who hold that at the time that you make the beracha, you accept upon yourself Shabbat. When you say, the woman says the words, "Lehadlik ner shel Shabbat," immediately it becomes Shabbat for her. And therefore, at the moment that she accepts upon herself Shabbat, she's not going to be able to then light the candles. So if she makes the beracha, it's Shabbat. She can't light the candles anymore. And therefore, according to the Shita of the Rama, which is the opinion of the Ashkenazim by and large, the halacha is that women accept upon themselves Shabbat at the time of the bracha, and therefore what they need to do is they should first light the nerot and then make the bracha. But we just said that you always have to make the bracha before you do the mitzvah. The answer is that there are certain situations where we don't do that order. Like, for example, by Netilat Yadayim. By Netilat Yadayim, when we wash our hands, if we would make the beracha before we wash our hands, what if your hands are dirty? So it's not proper to make a beracha when your hands are dirty. So therefore, what we do is we wash our hands first, so that your hands are clean. But in order so that the beracha should still be before you completed the mitzvah, we make sure to make the beracha before you dry your hands. So too, when it comes to hadlakat neirot, the minhag of the Ashkenazim is that women first light the neirot, but in order so that they shouldn't complete the mitzvah, they don't have benefit from the light until after they make the beracha. And that's where the custom is for the woman: she lights the neirot, then she covers her eyes, makes the beracha while covering her eyes so she didn't have benefit from the light, and then she opens up her eyes and she benefits from the light, which is the completion of the lighting of the neirot. So what should Sfaradim do? So it gets a little complicated, because Da'at Maran in Shulchan Aruch, Maran writes that the woman should first make the beracha and then light the nerot. What about the fact that she's going to accept upon herself Shabbat? According to Da'at Maran, a woman does not accept upon herself Shabbat at the time of making the beracha. According, however, to the Ben Ish Chai wrote that a woman should first light the nerot and then make the beracha. So, Da'at Maran, which is how Rabbi Avad Yosef always follows, he says that a woman should first make the beracha and then light. But the Ben Ish Chai says, first light and then make the beracha. So what should we do? The Or Letzion of Ben Tzion Abba Shaul answers like this. He says, both options are proper. If a woman has the minhag to light first and then make the beracha, she should continue. And if a woman has the custom to first make the beracha, to first light and then make the beracha, or first make a beracha and then light, she should continue whatever her minhag is. If a woman comes to a rabbi and says, I don't have a minhag, or I want to do what's correct, what should I do? What is the correct way to do it? I'm not going to follow anything else. I want to know, what does Hashem want me to do? So then, Rav Ben Tzion Abba Shaul says, the Rav should answer that it's preferable that the woman should first make the beracha and then light. Next, we're going to discuss the question about where to light. The minhag of the Sfaradim is that we light in the place where we sleep. In a situation where you're lighting at home, and the entire home is the place where you are staying for Shabbat, in your own home, the best place to light is in the dining room of that home. But if, for example, somebody has a hotel room, or they're a guest at somebody's house, and the only room that they have, which is dedicated to their own private use, is their bedroom, and they're going to be eating the meal in the common area, they should not light in the dining room. Because if you light in the dining room is the area which is common to everybody. The only home for this Shabbat that you have is your bedroom. And therefore, your hotel room. And therefore, you need to light in the place where you sleep. So therefore, you're supposed to light in your hotel room or in your bedroom. So what should you do if you're staying at a hotel and at a Shabbaton or something, and they set up all of the Neirot downstairs in the lobby or in the common dining room? The halakha is that you should light in your hotel room. If you're unable to light in your hotel room, Or Letzion, Chacham Ben Tzion Abba Shaul writes that if you're the first one downstairs to light on the table where all the Neirot are being lit, then you can light with a biracha. However, if you are not the first one there, if when you get there, there are already other people who have lit before you, then you should light without a biracha. I think that the best solution of all, even though it's not written in the poskim, is to light, as we said, in your room. You're not able to light with a fire inside of your hotel room. You're afraid of the smoke alarms or you're afraid of the sprinklers. The best solution is to light with electric lights, battery-powered electric lights. They have nowadays battery-powered tea lights, which you can turn on before Shabbat with a bracha, both according to Rabbi Avadi Yosef and according to Rabbi Ben Tzion Abba Shaul. And on top of that, because they look like little candles, so you also have the added benefit that it's recognizable that it's being lit lichvod Shabbat, because you already have the lights on in the room or off in the room, so why would you be lighting these extra tea lights? It's clear that it's recognizable that it's being lit lichvod Shabbat. By lighting these battery-powered tea lights, you can get them on Amazon or any other of these places. It's easy to be able to have an easy solution. You don't have to worry about fire, and you're able to fulfill making the beracha according to all poskim, because it's battery powered and it's being clear that it's recognizable that it's being done lechvod Shabbat. What happens if a young couple is staying over by their parents or by their in-laws for Shabbat, and they have a bedroom? However, the bedroom is not exclusively designated for their own private use. During the Shabbat, maybe the parents are going to come in to get clothing for the children who had to move out for that Shabbat, but their cabinets or their dressers are in that room, so they're going to go in order to get the clothing. So now in that situation, they do not have any room which is designated for their own private use. What do they do then? The answer is, if they are guests at somebody's house and they do not have any room which is designated for their own private use, then they do not have their own private house for that Shabbat. They are guests of the family, and therefore they should not light the Neirot at all that Shabbat. Just like when the wife was a bat bayit, when she was a member of the household, she didn't light her own Neirot. She fulfilled her hadlakat Neirot with the lighting of her mother. So too, if you're a guest at your parents' table for that Shabbat and you don't have your own designated private room for your exclusive use, you are like Ben Bayit of the family. You're a guest as part of the family, and you fulfill your Neirot with the lighting of the head of the household. If a woman wants to light her own Neirot, she can light it in the dining room. However, she has to be very careful to light without a Beracha, because it will be a Beracha Levatala. The next halakha that we're going to be discussing is what happens if the family is split up for Shabbat. The husband is away on a business trip, the wife might be away taking care of something, the children, maybe the son is in yeshiva, the daughter is in seminary. How does it work? Does everybody fulfill their hadlakat neirot at the time of the candle lighting of the head of a household back at home? Or should they all light separately in their own locations? The answer is that the first question is it in the same time zone or a different time zone? If it's in the same time zone, the halakha is that in the times before there was electricity, everyone had to light wherever they were, because everyone had to have light in the place where they were staying, because otherwise there's going to be a lack of oneg Shabbat, because they may stumble in the dark. Nowadays, where we do have lights on, the only reason why we light is because of the takanat chachamim. However, the reason for lighting is already being covered. You have lights on in the home, in the bathroom, in the closet, wherever you have light on in the house, so people are not going to stumble. And the only reason why you would need to light is because of the takanat chachamim, but that's being covered by the lights that are being lit at home. So therefore, according to Rabbi Avadi Yosef and Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul, there is a machloket. Rabbi Avadi Yosef holds that the takana still applies even if they're in two separate locations, and they both need to light separately. Even if they're in the same time zone, the husband is away in a different area of the country, but in the same time zone, he's away on some type of event or a convention, he needs to light wherever he is separately from his wife. However, according to the Or LeZion, Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul holds that if there is light coming into the room from a closet, from a hallway, or from a bathroom, or some other place, you can light in the place where you're staying. However, the husband or whoever is away should not light with a beracha. He should light with without a beracha. What happens if you don't follow Rabbi Vadir or Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul? You don't have any specific posek who you follow. So the proper answer, I think, is that you should follow Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul because of the rule of safek berachot lahakel. If you're not sure what to do, when in doubt, don't make the beracha. It's better to light, but it's better to light without a beracha. The same rule applies for students in the dorm rooms. If a girl is away in seminary or a son is in yeshiva, again, let's talk about the same time zone first. If you're in the same time zone, according to Gaon Rav Avadi Yosef, they need to light in their room with a beracha. However, he says, only one person in the room should light with a beracha, and everybody else should fulfill their lighting with that one person. He or she should be the shaliach of all the members of that room. However, again, according to Rav Ben Tzion Abba Shaul, if there's light coming in from the hallway, from a closet, from a bathroom, he should not light, or if he wants to light, he can light without a biracha. All of this applies if you're in the same time zone. However, if somebody is in a different time zone, the husband went away to China, or the children went away to Israel for the year in yeshiva or in seminary, in that situation, the halacha is everyone agrees, both Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul and Rabbi Avadi Yosef agree, that he does need to light, or she needs to light, wherever they are, with a biracha, and that is the correct thing to do. However, again, as Rabbi Avadi writes, only one person should light on behalf of all the members of their dorm room. This concludes the halachot, the overview of the halachot of Hadlakat Neirot, Kefi Minhag HaSfaradim, Hazak Ve'ematz, to this wonderful organization that is sponsoring these Shiurim.